the truth about markets. The God's honest truth about markets. Are you hot? Of course you are. Did you suffer 114 degree heat prostration taking the tube this past week? Of course you did. Is the MRSA superbug kicking your ass? Of course it is. There's a new superbug in the hospitals now, and the British people are calling it C. difficile. C. point difficile in French, of course. Kind of a left-handed slap to the French people. Because in France, of course, they don't have these problems with their transportation system, their health system, their education system, because they haven't sold out to the highest bidder. They haven't sold out to Bechtel, Halliburton, and American contractors. You want to see the future of contracting business in UK? Look at what's happening in Iraq right now. You've got U.S. contractors have gone to war with U.S. soldiers. You've got Americans fighting Americans in Iraq. The Taliban is just sitting back with a big bowl of popcorn, watching Americans fight Americans. What's happening in Russia? Russia, another bastion of neoliberal economics these days. You've got the highest suicide rate in their armed forces than they've ever experienced. And it's not only suicide, but homicide. You've got Russian soldiers killing Russian soldiers. Once again, the Taliban is just sitting back with a big bowl of popcorn. Let's watch some Russians kill each other. Yeah, they can't afford TV, but they got some good entertainment. I'll tell you that much. This is the Truth About Markets here in Residence, 104.4 FM here in the West End of London. My name is Max Kaiser. Yeah, we struggled through the rain to get to you. Nothing can stop us. Rain, sleet, or snow, we deliver. Just like the U.S. Postal Service before it got privatized. Now they don't deliver. Jack Doodley Squad. With me on board, my co-pilot is always Stacey Herbert.
Hi, Max Kaiser.
What's
I'm here.
Babe?
I'm here. I just made it back from Glastonbury where I took too many drugs and...
Rolling in the mud?
Rolling in the mud with Kate Moss.
Yeah, I loved it. I think I'd like to see Freud do a portrait of you and Kate Moss rolling in the mud naked. Okay. Lucian Freud.
I think that's a good
I'd like to see you all tangled limbs akimbo.
Uh-huh.
In the mud in Glastonbury, listening to some hot new music.
Yeah, so...
rubbing carpets.
The freak weather.
Freak weather around the world. Of course, you can't really call it freak weather anymore because it's the new norm. It's the new normal. Weather systems around the world are breaking down because of climate change and man-made global warming. And that's why I don't mind calling myself Max Kaiser Dead Man Talking. I'm a dead man talking. Why? Because thanks to Exxon, a.k.a. Auschwitz, we have turned the globe into one big death oven where climate change and global warming is heating up, you know, boiling us alive. You know, this is the natural outcome of a neoliberal capitalist model. It's called fascism. It happened in the 40s when you had capitalism, you know, reach its end game. Then you had the U.S. forces come in there, liberate the poor people that had become under the death grip of fascism with American democracy and candy bars. But now here we are 60 years later, and the same thing's happening in America and the U.K. Fascism's reared its ugly head, except it's got a new brand name. It's called Exxon, Monsanto, HSBC, predatory lending. Predatory lending is really the financial death camps of our day, if you think about it. These people are getting mortgages that are 100% of equity in their home, 120% of equity, negative amortization. You're consigning these people to basically serfdom. They're going to go back to lords and serfs as if it ever ended in this country. You still have lords, don't you? The lords never went away. You got a house of lords. You got a whole house full of lords. You got the aristocracy living out in the countryside, just counting their millions they make in the oil and diamond business. They don't care about you. No, 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 no. Speculating your life away, gambling your life away, speculating in the housing market. Well, they're going to pull away the punch bowl soon. Interest rates will skyrocket and you'll be left holding your dick. It's not a pretty picture. And the global weather picture mimics the global financial picture. These two go part and parcel with each other. Parapessu, to use another Frenchism in this show. Because, you know, when we finish this show in London, in the West End, we get on the Eurostar and we head back to Paris. And we do a big radio show in Paris all week long.
From Pigalle. Huh?
Until that station goes broke. Then we'll be moving back to London. Yeah.
In which case, residents might not be here by then.
Nah, residents will be here.
According to this weekend's, last weekend's Guardian.
What are they saying in the Guardian about residents?
I don't know. Apparently, Ed downstairs hasn't told us, but they might not get
their license. Ed downstairs. The new action thriller starring Steven Seagal. Ed downstairs. Just when you thought all was lost. Out from downstairs pops Ed. Pepperoni pizza in hand to save the day. You know, speaking of freak weather and the global ecology and habitats breaking down. Mm-hmm. You know, in Australia, they are so desperate for water because of the drought situation that they're recycling raw sewage.
To drink.
As potable water.
Wow.
You know,
that has to be nasty, really.
Well, I'm sure it's not, you know.
You have to be in dire straits to be drinking your neighbor's poo.
You would think so. You would think that would be the tip-off, that maybe the economy model that you're worshipping is not working too good, drinking your neighbor's poo water. But apparently it's not the big tip-off for them. They're thinking, oh, well, you know, this doesn't taste that bad. It's like your own farts. You know, you figure, oh, it's not that bad. This doesn't smell too bad.
No.
Once you drink your neighbor's poo water a few times, you get, you know, it's not that bad. And, you know, the thing about it is it's funny because I'm sure a lot of the Aboriginal pee ends up in the water. And, of course, you have these right-wing, neoliberal Australian white people drinking Aboriginal pee eventually, you know. Particle for particle, you can't differentiate Aboriginal pee in the water, then you really can't molecularly separate it from the hydrogen and the oxygen there. It's going to have essence of Aboriginal pee is going to be in the water. So I think ultimately this proves that the friction between the Aborigines and the white people in Australia was really more of a sexual thing.
You think,
you know,
so?
It's unrequited love.
They're now drinking their urine.
Now they've finally got together.
It's golden shower. They
golden
should just
shower.
Go straight to the golden shower. Forget all this.
Aboriginal,
you know,
golden shower water from Sydney. Available now from Tesco. Tesco, Aboriginal pea water from Tesco, only $9.99 for a six-pack. Yeah, get together with your brother, man.
I think get that's together what Ed was drinking brother, downstairs.
No, he's drinking Jack Daniels and lye.
I think it was Jack Daniels and Mecca Cola.
It's a new drink that a lot of kids are drinking now. Lye.
Oh, yeah, that's old-fashioned. They don't really do lye
well,
anymore.
Well, Ed's kind of an old-fashioned guy.
Whatever happened to lye?
Well, and remember, if you saw the movie, Spike Lee's movie, which he made about Malcolm X, I believe it was called Malcolm X.
It was called Malcolm X, yeah.
You know, they used lye back in the old days to make their hair straight, the black community.
They got
what was called a conk, was the hairstyle at that time, the conk. And they used lye, and it was, of course, it was very hot. And there's that scene where Denzel Washington is running around, his scalp is practically on fire, trying to get the conk. And then he has a revelation that the black man is not supposed to be having this lye poured on their head, you know. And you had the civil rights movement in America.
As a result?
As a result of the conk and the lye. This gave birth to the civil, and then you had Rosa Parks.
Uh-huh.
Refused to give up her seat for that white man.
Mm-hmm.
The civil rights movement in America, which was really going strong there for a while. It looked like, you know, there would be some kind of racial equality and opportunity in America. But then the white neo-Christian neo-conservatives started killing all the black leaders and the Kennedy boys. So then you got Reagan come back in, and the whole nightmare once again. Nightmare. White man nightmare.
And he built some prisons to hold them all in.
Gonna build a prison. Gonna put them blacks in prison. Yeah, it's the fastest growing population in America is the prison population. Of course, you lose your right to vote once you go into prison. But the people who build the prisons, the private contractors, also own the restaurants and the hotels near the prisons. So when you go visit your Uncle Leroy in jail, stay at the hotel and eat in the restaurant, you're all supporting the local white guy. Speaking of local white guys who now have the ability to disenfranchise anybody they see fit, They got a huge backing this past week. This is really the nub, the nettle, the essence of this show. If you're just tuning into the show, forget about the first few minutes of the show. They're meaningless. They're nothing. It's like just a preamble to the main event. The main event of this show today, London, here on Resonance Radio 104.4, The Truth About Markets, is that the Supreme Court in America just last week voted to allow businesses to take away private property from fellow citizens to make room for more private property. Tell us more about this, Stacey. I know you've been up on this.
This is a devastating case, yes. Apparently, you're allowed to now confiscate private property at will, as long as you have connections. One of the few dissenters, well, actually there were four dissenters in the Supreme Court. One of them, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, says that any property may now be taken for the benefit of another private party. I can't speak.
You got problems with your P's.
But the fallout from this decision will not be random, she wrote. The beneficiaries are likely to be those citizens with disproportionate influence and power in the political process, including large corporations and development firms. So remember just last month, and I think we spoke about this, George Bush was over there meeting with Vladimir Putin. And he said, yes, I have expressed to Mr. Vladimir Putin that I'm dismayed with his lack of consideration for private property rights, namely of the private property rights of the oligarchs who launder their money through our own banking systems and maintain our high GDP growth. Anyway, so what does he do? He comes back to America and the Supreme Court gets rid of private property rights in America. No longer are the private property rights in America. It is now officially a Stalin-esque state. You know, they've been talking a lot about these gulags, right, that they've been building over in Guantanamo, and Britain's contribution to it is, of course, Diego Garcia and Bagram and Abu Ghraib. Okay, you've got the gulag system. Now you need to have the last bit, private property rights, annihilated. Doesn't look good.
Well, it's incredible, you know, that Putin was lectured on private property rights from George Bush. And then within the same week, the U.S. Supreme Court has overruled private property rights in America, opening the way for, it's sad, really. I mean, it's hard not to get choked up and start crying a little bit because, you know, I was born in America, and just to see it flushed down the toilet by Bush and his cronies is really heartbreaking.
I actually grew up in this little town which this case is based on. It's called New London, Connecticut, and it's right next to Pfizer, so it kind of smells like a big petri dish. It smells awful. Anyway, they're raising these homes in order to build a hotel, some health clubs and offices, and this is like for the public good, right? And I wonder what they're doing. There's a roller skating rink on that road too, just in that same neighborhood.
Right.
I don't know if they're tearing that down, but that's where I used to boogie on down.
Memory.
Upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively.
Like the corners of your mind.
I used to roller skate backwards. I was so good.
Misty technical
memories.
Areolas too. Lactation squirting milk into my eye.
That's better than Majur.
Who the hell is Majur?
You know, that's the question.
Who
that
is Midge always or? Give us a call here at Residence 104.4 if you know who the hell is Majur. Majur.
I never danced to any of his songs at the roller skating rink. I can tell you that.
No, he wasn't born yet. He's like 12 years old, Majur.
No, he's bald and short.
He's got leukemia. He's 12 years old. He's had,
it's all this air pollution. You know, the last week in the UK, we've been on high alert, haven't we? Because the air is basically poisonous. It's turned to just a stew of poison.
Yeah, that's the PPP partnerships. Thank God for Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. They got those corporations. They're helping us. They put soot in the air. Now we're dying. Thank you. they're betting on our deaths in the spread betting market.
Exactly.
Brown and Blair. You know, they've taken out spread bets. How many people in Britain are going to die this week from air pollution? They don't support carbon caps or carbon trading, really.
Yeah.
You know, Blair famously retracted his mandate for UK corporations to cap their carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
He gave in to the lobbying of the big carbon emitters like Exxon, a.k.a. Auschwitz, to come into this country and create the climatological oven of which we are all now dying. But
thanks, Tony.
You know, he's buying these spread bets, basically. Every time a UK dies of emphysema, Britain dies of emphysema, lung complications, brain tumors, pollution-related sicknesses, he makes a big pop. He makes some money on this thing. I think he's going to make money.
Speaking of climate change, how about Sir Bob Geldof, major celebrity league asshole? did you see what... Oh, I shouldn't have said the whole part. Okay.
Sorry, you can say ass.
Major celebrity he's donkey. Yeah. Anyway, you see that he's warned any of these artists performing at Live 8 that they're not allowed to talk about climate change because he doesn't want to upset Bush.
Geldof is a moron. He's doing more harm than good. As George Mobiot has said in The Guardian, who's a respected columnist. I read his column. I like his column. George Mobiot is a smart guy.
Yeah.
He calls it like it is. He has pointed out that Geldof and Bono are doing more harm than good. Because they give people a false sense of accomplishment because nothing's really changing. The numbers that people are talking about in terms of forgiving the debt to Africa are minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when push comes to shove and you blow away the smoke, what's going on here is that Geldof and Bono are really promoting the neoliberal model. The neoliberal model is what got Africa into a bad situation to begin with. So here you've got two very high-powered celebrities who go on TV a lot. And you've got Geldof, who owns a TV production company, who complained recently that the valuation of the TV production company wasn't high enough. He thinks that his altruism should make the TV production company 10 albums worth another 20 million pounds more.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Bono, who's an investment banker now. He's joined a private board of a private banking equity house.
Elevation Partners.
These guys are coming out and saying, you know, we got to help Africa with the neoliberal model.
Mm-hmm.
They're just lining their own pockets, basically. They're not helping nobody except themselves. Okay? And I'll give you the three-point plan. If you think what I'm saying is wrong, let me break it down to you easily, into one easily digestible three-point plan. You too,
the
fish and chip munching Brit, can understand even what I'm about to say. And our global audience around the world that tunes into Resonance 104.4, you know, they're podcasting now around the world.
Exactly. We've been getting fan mail from Oregon, from Washington State, from all over America, from New Jersey, from Virginia.
Desperately. They're desperate, seeking ways to escape the gulag of the American system. But here's the 3.1 plan. Number one, they want to forgive loans to Africa.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Number two, the loans that they're forgiven,
I think we already discussed this last week.
No, really?
Yeah. It sounds exactly like the podcast I listen to. We already know that they have to like convert to evangelical Christianism and hand over all their resources. Speaking of handing over all your resources and your companies, how about China buying Unocal or bidding for Unocal?
Okay, well that's a good topic.
This is coming back. This is the same exact neoliberal Washington consensus as applied to Latin America and Africa, now being reapplied back to America from China. Because how can America say no when they're so in debt? And who do they owe the money to? Who's
China.
Who's the guy collecting?
China.
So,
you know what Malcolm X said? It's the chickens coming home to roost.
Is that what he said?
You know, I mean, he got into...
He foresaw this situation?
He foresaw the whole Chinese situation. He could tell up there, 125th Street. He's getting conked. He saw, you know what, the Chinese, year 2005, the chickens are going to go home to roost.
So let's see. So the American taxpayer, right, America is in debt, never to be able to get out of it. It's way too much. They just owe too much, right?
Without a major devaluation of the U.S. dollar.
They're in debt because they had to finance the military adventures to secure the oil around the world in the first place.
Check.
But now they're so in debt that China has decided to come and collect, i.e. take their oil companies.
Check.
So these Chinese men, they are so smart. They didn't bloody a finger. They didn't have to raise a rifle or an Uzi or drop a bomb on anybody.
No.
They have good karma. They know all about karma over there on that side of the world. And look, they didn't have to do anything. They just let the Americans blow away everything, spend all their money, and it was fun while it lasted, but now it's over.
You know, working on Wall Street for many years, you learn something.
What's that? Where to buy the best drugs?
You learned that, of course, in the 80s. The Wall Street was covered in a blanket of snow. But you learned something from the Jews on Wall Street.
Yeah. What's the saying?
Well, no, the Jews on Wall Street and the Jews in New York have a reputation for cutting good deals.
Uh-huh.
But you ask a Jew in New York who the best deal makers are in the world, they'll tell you the Chinese.
Oh, will they?
They tell you the Chinese. The Chinese have a global reputation as being the shrewdest business people to ever walk the face of the earth. And they are now getting their day in the sun. And they, as you point out, have let America walk into the roach motel of fiscal irresponsibility by lending them hundreds of billions of dollars to buy Chinese goods.
Uh-huh.
That money ends up going back to China. Then they used all that money that was given to them back, so the cost of them relatively zero, to buy oil assets in the form of these corporations as a hedge against the U.S. failing in Iraq. I think a lot of people are mystified. Why would the Chinese buy corporate oil assets when they can buy, drill it out of the ground, you know, just as cheaply or cheaper? And the answer is that they need to hedge against the U.S. failure in Iraq. You know, the globe is making massive bets now in the various financial markets around the world because they anticipate the U.S., the odds are that the U.S. is going to fail in Iraq. They're not going to win this war. It's not even close anymore. They're losing big time. You talk about the comparison to Vietnam. Vietnam was a cakewalk compared to Iraq. How many? We lost $50 billion in Vietnam and 58,000 men. Well, so far it's costing $1 billion a week and just climbing 10% every week in Iraq. That number is going to shoot through the roof. It's going to make Vietnam look like a pinprick. Who knows? And before
General Abizad says that too, doesn't it?
Hey!
We have somebody in the
Joey
studio.
Joey John! Yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Joey John.
Famous rock and roller from...
from New York.
New York.
Speaking of New York, he's another climate refugee from the bad climate of bad culture and bad...
climate refugee,
bad
Joey John. You know, Joey John's a guy who came up with a very famous saying, just say no to Joey's crack.
Joey's butt crack.
He likes to go into bars in Paris. That's where we know him, primarily in Paris. I know we're in London. Joey's in London. He's got a gig down at the Lord Fauntleroy Club later on tonight at midnight. It's Joey John's experience. He's got his whole 50-piece orchestra with him, with the strings and the harp. He's doing all of John Cage's back catalog of music. He's doing Lou Reed, and he's going to be doing every Beatles song not published. It's going to be Joey John tonight at Lord Fauntleroy Club at midnight. But he's the one who came up with Just Say No to Joey's Crack, because he likes to flash his crack wherever he goes. You see him tonight, for example, he'll probably expose his crack.
It's
during
not pretty.
The show.
It's pretty scary.
Well, it depends.
It's
you
pretty
know.
Scary.
It's a different type of thing. Some different people are into different things.
Everyone has cleavage. Everyone has cleavage. Girls have it in the front. Boys have it in the back. It's nice to share. There's nothing wrong with sharing.
The guy's a genius. He's a poet. He's a poet.
He looks like Jack Black. He sounds like Jack Black.
He's the man.
The man, but...
Jack Black on Dexedrine.
Yeah, you should check out Joey John, though. Yeah, Look him up on the internet. He's a pretty good singer.
Yeah, he's got the whole rock and roll thing.
So he keeps telling us.
He's got the
right?
rock and roll hangover show. He's on another radio station
and
in Paris.
I'm spending $1 billion a week to keep this life alive. $1 billion in a week, and it's raising 10% every week.
So let's get out of Iraq. Let's take this guy off life support system, because you should see his crack. It's not nice. It's not nice.
That's
he needs to be put
people...
out.
My crack is $1 billion and a half a week. That's a big crack.
There's hope. There's hope yet. There's hope still. Oh, this is interesting. I just got some massive.
Okay. Speaking of. Ooh,
thanks, guys.
Speaking of crack.
Let's move on.
Let's move on with this. Pleasurable experience here.
Well, you know,
the truth about markets.
It's not just us who says we're losing in Iraq. If you listen to General John Abizad.
Yes.
He's huge in the U.S. military.
Is he the major don there? Is he who do they call those, the knuckle, you know, the guys who, the hitmen, you know, who work for the mafia?
Yeah, the Capito.
Yeah,
something
is that
like
him?
That.
That's him. He works.
No, he's a big dude, man. He's a big general. He's there, and he says basically, quite frankly, that the U.S. is losing. U.S. Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld The H, what does the H stand for?
Why, that suddenly came in there. I've never known his middle initial.
Yeah, really? What's the